Welcome to Steppin' Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Supriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms not only within the system, but within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon.
Everybody, my name's Sue Supriano, and my guest today is John Stauber. John Stauber is the founder and director of the Center for Media and Democracy in Madison, Wisconsin. They put out a newsletter called PR Watch, Public Interest Reporting on the PR/Public Affairs Industry. And he has written with Sheldon Rampton several books, Toxic Sludge is Good for You, Mad Cow USA, Could the Nightmare Happen Here? And most recently, Trust Us, We're Experts. And the subtitle of that is How Industry Manipulates Science and Gambles with Your Future. So there's so much to talk about, John, and we'll just get right into it. And each one of these books really looks very interesting to me, and we're here at the Bioneers Conference in San Rafael, California, and that's a very cutting-edge, interesting conference for sure. And we just met, so and we are here also just after the war started. Actually, U.S. ground troops went into Afghanistan yesterday, and I wanted to talk to you because I know how manipulated we are by the media, and just in many ways. So go for it. Tell us how it works, because a lot of people don't understand.
Well, first of all, it requires a lot of money. And at the Center for Media and Democracy in Madison, Wisconsin, what we investigate and write about and speak about is propaganda and how it functions in democratic societies like the United States. And in countries like ours, of course, we like to believe that there is no propaganda and certainly no propaganda industry, that propaganda is a dirty word that's out of Stalin's Russia or Hitler's Germany. It's not even a word we hear much, although I have to say that now that the nation is engaged militarily, we hear the word propaganda, usually government officials or the news media, talking about our quote-unquote enemies and what they're doing as propaganda. The reality is that every government agency, every politician, every corporation, every wealthy individual uses propaganda. And in fact, in our country, there's an entire multi-billion dollar industry that provides propaganda services, and it's called the public relations industry. It has sort of a ho-hum, boring, I don't even want to hear about it type of name. Again, we all think we know what PR is. There are these spinmeisters out there who are trying to fool us, but we're too educated, cynical, skeptical, well-informed to really fall for PR. The reality is that here in countries like the United States, we are the most propagandized people in history. As Alex Carey pointed out in his fantastic book published posthumously and now available in the United States titled Taking the Risk Out of Democracy, it's in precisely countries like his, Australia, and ours, the United States, democratic societies where propaganda is most pervasive and most effective. Mm-hmm. But, of course, it's also invisible. The best propaganda, the best public relations is always invisible. So we have a multi-billion dollar industry. It's actually part of the even larger advertising industry. And what it does is construct and wage propaganda campaigns or public relations campaigns to allow established status quo interests. Governments, corporations essentially manage public opinion and public perception. One of the world's largest PR firms that's engaged in this, Burson Marsteller, says its work is to manage perception. And what they do is they seek to manipulate news and media information, public opinion, and public policy in favor of their clients, Fortune 500 companies and governments. That's what we write about, and that's what we've covered for the last 8 years. Our quarterly PR Watch is available up on our website at prwatch.org. We've done a lot in the last year to provide a new feature, Spin of the Day, that has daily reporting on spin. And since September 11th, an awful lot of what we put up every day is information on how various interests are trying to manipulate or manage or sway public opinion and the media in light of the terrorist attacks and the U.S. military response.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you have a web page. In fact, give the web page again, and then we're going to give it at the end of the show again, because I really – it's just such an important subject that is kind of the basis of everything else, because I find that a lot of the arguments I get in – or with the people who have different opinions than I do, have to do with where and how they get their information. And being a person who gets in my information from independent sources and often from people who I know mm-hmm. were actually there at the time that whatever it is was getting reported or something like that, it's like and then I get very insulted because people don't take my word for it, because they're reading and they get very upset that I don't read and watch TV and I don't read the corporate press, and I feel like I that's an important thing to do, but I can't do everything. And so at the basis of it all is this issue of what's true and how we get manipulated. So give the web page and go on.
Well, right, exactly. Everything you said is a great summation of the problem we face. Our web page, again, is www.prwatch.org. That's like Public Relations Watch, prwatch.org. You've hit the nail on the head. And the reason we exist is that back in 1993, after 5 years of working with a nonprofit organization that was organizing farmers and consumers opposed to Monsanto's genetically engineered bovine growth hormone, and watching the Monsanto Corporation in collusion with the dairy industry, the Food and Drug Administration, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the Bush and Clinton Gore administrations win that issue through a massive combination of lobbying and public relations, I realized that every issue of importance in our society, issues of war and peace, issues of chemical toxicity, issues of human rights, issues of social justice, racial, feminist issues, any issue on which there's an entrenched status quo, major corporations or government bureaucracies, they are employing, I hate to say it, but they are rather brilliant public relations experts who work with the lobbyists. They craft the messages. They're doing constant public opinion polling. They're developing what are called third-party experts, because if Monsanto, this giant biotech chemical company that brought us things like PCBs and Agent Orange, tells us that sticking a needle in a cow every day and pumping it up with genetically engineered growth hormone isn't going to have any effect on the cow or the health of milk consumers, we might not trust Monsanto. So, for instance, Monsanto, as a tiny part of their campaign, made sure that every dairy research facility at any university or college in the United States received funding to research and test bovine growth hormone. And what they're really buying was allegiance, because suddenly the dairy research facilities were on board. And if you hear a professor from a university say, well, don't worry, this is just a technological improvement, a harmless, naturally occurring protein that's going to allow farmers to do a more efficient job of feeding the world, and you hear it from a professor, that sounds palatable. So the pervasiveness of PR really can't be overstated.
And I understand that there's almost no money for independent research. It's basically all funded by the corporations and from different radio shows. I've done an investigative reporting. I know that when people come out, do independent research, like about cell phones, for instance, and they get, and that's not the only one, it just happens to be one I know about, then they become immediately fired, blacklisted. It's very serious, and people really need to get this.
It is. That's absolutely the truth, that maybe 30 or 40 years ago, there was more independence at universities and colleges. Certainly there was less corporate money, there was more public funding, and you like to believe that you could turn to the land-grant universities, you know, the private and public colleges, and speak with professors of chemistry, for instance, about DDT or dieldrin or lindane or Agent Orange herbicides, and get information that you can use about the good, the bad, and the ugly, and take it out into the realm of public debate. But the reality is that today, the universities and colleges are proud to be business partners of industry, and especially in this area of genetic engineering. We've seen UC Berkeley, for instance, enter into a business partnership with one of the really big biotech firms. And as you say, when independent scientists speak out, when they stick their neck out, they get it chopped off pretty quickly. There's in our new book, Trust Us, We're Experts, we tell the story of Arpad Pusztai. Most people in the United States have never heard of this extremely distinguished, very conservative scientist who, back in 1997, won a research grant to do one of the very few studies on lab animals to try to answer the question, is genetically engineered food safe for humans? And Pusztai at the Rode Institute in Scotland was one of the world's, some would say the world's leading expert on a particular type of proteins called lectins. And he genetically engineered potatoes with a particular lectin, a snowdrop lectin, that he expected to be safe for human consumption because the potatoes themselves were safe. The snowdrop lectin proved safe, but the genetically engineered potatoes containing the expression of the lectin decimated his lab animals. And so he was interviewed on the BBC, and this was when Britain was deciding whether or not to allow genetically engineered food into the country. Unlike the United States, there was a real debate and public information around it, and they took a very different stance, in part because of Arpad Pusztai saying, I wouldn't eat genetically engineered food. I thought it was safe, but my research indicates it isn't. We need to do a lot more research. Well, he was on the air for a minute and a half, and within days, he was fired from his position. He was locked out of his lab. He's never been back into his lab. His wife, a scientist at the same institute, was told, along with Arpad, that if you two speak out publicly in any way, your pensions are history. And they had signed confidentiality agreements that gave that power to the Rode Institute. Meanwhile, Monsanto and the Rode Institute came out with false information smearing the reputation and the research of Dr. Pusztai. It took him 9 months to correct his image in Europe. Colleagues of his replicated his research. It was published in peer-reviewed journals. This is really important information because it tells us two things. One, there are only a handful of studies that have ever been done trying to answer the question, is the genetically engineered food we're already consuming in the U.S. safe? And a couple of those studies by Arpad Pusztai say, no, it isn't. We need to research the safety of these foods. They should be off the market while that research is going on. And two, we see what happens to even distinguished conservative scientists when they go public. And three, I would say that no one in the United States has heard this story. People in Britain and Scotland, in the EU, are familiar with it. But the news media in the United States, for whatever reason, has not told the story. of Arpad Pusztai. He's gotten a little bit of airtime, but this is a critical bit of information, precautionary tale, and we're the guinea pigs here in this field experiment that no one's really looking at too closely because, God forbid, there should be proof of harm. But it is a field experiment to see what happens to humans who eat genetically engineered food. Yeah.
Well, Jan Stauber, stories are good. More of this that we can hear about, I think is good for people to hear. This cell phone person, I don't know if you know that story, but I think he was from another country too, actually, who spoke out and did independent research. And then, of course, it goes the other way. Something like medical marijuana, you can't study it enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they can't okay it. Mm-hmm. And I hear that this... this drug that just came out that supposedly cures anthrax disease hasn't been studied at all. Do you happen to know anything about that particular thing? But if you don't, that's okay. I'm sure you know plenty of other things.
Yeah, I can't speak to the anthrax drug, but I noticed that checking my email today, I've already today gotten over a dozen pieces of junk email from some company supposedly selling treatment for anthrax. The amount of money to be made scaring the public about anthrax exposure and selling supposed cures is going to bring not just large companies, but a lot of small entrepreneurs, an incredible amount of money. One thing that's really changed since we're talking about anthrax, and we'd only be talking about anthrax because of the anthrax attacks, the envelopes of spores mailed around, since the last big war the United States was involved in, the Gulf War, is we all who have computers and modems now or who have nearby libraries or schools have access to the Internet. And I think in the early days of the development of the Internet, there was way too much hype about how this is going to salvage and revitalize democracy. The only thing that's going to salvage and revitalize democracy are citizens in a democracy stepping forward, claiming our rights, and taking power away from institutions which have concentrated power in their hands, like the corporations we write about. But I have to say that there are really good sites on the Internet now where an alternative to NBC, ABC, CBS is available, some good in-depth analysis, sites like alternet.org out of the Bay Area here. Are providing a very important public service, commondreams.org, and we see a lot of good analysis and information that people need to get. I remember the Gulf War back in 91. We were really in the dark. You know, you had to wait till the Weekly came out, or if you sat and listened to community radio stations, you got some information. But there was a massive propaganda campaign back around the Gulf War that we write about in our book, Toxic Sludge is Good for You. The Hill & Knowlton PR firm received $10 million, essentially money from the Kuwaiti royal family, to start a front group called Citizens for a Free Kuwait. And they organized at the grassroots and all the way up to literally the Security Council of the United Nations to create the appearance that there was a massive groundswell in the United States for going to war to free Kuwait. And, of course, the ultimate irony is that there's very little about Kuwait then or now that is free. This was the money of the ruling family. And one of the outrageous stunts that that campaign orchestrated back in the fall of 1990 was what looked like a public hearing in the nation's capital where a young girl whose name was given as Naira, not her real name, but to protect her family back in occupied Kuwait, talked about how she personally saw babies killed by the score in a hospital she worked in occupied Kuwait, where Iraqi soldiers, for some reason, threw these babies out of incubators and took the incubators back to Iraq. Amnesty International bought into this. President Bush repeated it, and it really was a gut-wrenching story that affected the decision of whether or not to go to war during the Gulf War. Well, a year later, it was exposed as completely fake, orchestrated by Hill and Knowlton. The young girl, in fact, was the daughter of the Kuwaiti ambassador to the United States. What looked like a hearing on Capitol Hill was not a real hearing. No one was sworn in. It was a hearing before politicians sympathetic to going to war. And even after that was exposed by the CBC and by John MacArthur, who's with Harper's Magazine, most people in the United States have never heard this story. The public relations industry began out of a massive propaganda campaign to get the U.S. involved in World War I. And any time the country goes to war, that's when we see the most and most effective and most difficult to expose government propaganda. So I'm glad we do have alternative sources of information like alternet.org and commondreams.org available to anyone with a computer and modem.
Now let me put in a word for the indie media, which is a grassroots activist, and it's a totally open publishing. Anybody can put anything up on audio, video, print, or photography. It's totally open. You can go to indymedia.org, IndyMedia.org. And if you look, that's a global one. If you look over on the left, you'll see there's 70-plus indie media sites all over the world, so you can get it from the source.
Well, yeah, the indie media has been tremendous, you know, growing out of the Seattle demonstrations. And I think one of the real ironies in our current situation is that the indie media had come under attack from the FBI. Just vicious efforts at censorship, intimidation, harassment, spying from the FBI against people committed to investigative journalism, people committed to ferreting out the truth, people committed to telling the story about corporate globalization and how it impacts locally. You know, maybe if the FBI and the rest of the security apparatus spent a little less time harassing, intimidating, and spying on U.S. citizens engaged in confronting the power of global corporations, they would have caught a handful of real terrorists before they boarded those airplanes.
Well, John Stauber, yeah, there's just, like I say, we could probably talk for hours. And I would like you to tell, what about the war now, the propaganda that's going on right now? The middle of October, as I say, 2001.
Well, the propaganda that's going on right now is massive, and I think a lot of investigative journalists, ourselves included, are attempting to catch up with it. It's extremely difficult during a declared war because, of course, the mainstream media, which has done a despicable job of providing information that the American public needs to understand the historical contexts of events like we've been through, events like we're going through, I think has to be looked at as a big part of the problem.
Omission is sometimes part of it, too. It's when you say haven't been providing, right. Omission is a big part of it.
Right. And you know, I'm like everyone else. When all this started, I had to get out my world map and atlas and take a look at Afghanistan. Afghanistan hasn't been in the forefront of my mind. I was listening to Democracy Now! In Exile with Amy Goodman, and she was interviewing early on the Pakistani journalist Ahmad Rashid, who's written one of the most important books on this issue titled Taliban. And why aren't people with the wisdom and insight of Ahmad Rashid getting play in the mainstream press? That's the sort of information that the American public needs to get to understand the historical context for the terrible crisis we're in. As far as the propaganda goes, something that we're doing on our site at www.prwatch.org is we have a feature titled Spin of the Day. And so every day or every other day, we're putting up information attempting to dissect some aspect of the propaganda war. And an issue this big, it isn't like there's three guys in a back room at the Pentagon who are developing the propaganda plan. A big part of the propaganda now is actually the corporate counterattack against democracy and democratic rights in the U.S. These people do not skip a beat. These lobbyists, within hours of the deaths of 5,500 people in New York and Washington, are crafting legislation, wrapping everything they want in the flag, trying to force through fast track and trying to undo efforts to protect our natural resources, such as the argument that, well, now we really have to open up oil in Alaska because, my gosh, if we would just push aside these ridiculous environmental concerns and get at that oil, you know, we wouldn't have events like this. The most outrageous sorts of war profiteering are being wrapped in the flag now, and that's all part of the propaganda campaign, too. Another part of it is the right wing telling environmental activists, community activists, social justice activists, anti-corporate globalization activists, oh, be patriotic now and just shut up. There's a war on. And it's happening at a time when they're cranking up their campaigns. Mm-hmm. So the propaganda is pervasive. We're trying to report on it on a daily basis on our website.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm so glad that we have a chance to talk here. And I want to urge people, I myself want to really look at these books because just the titles, and having talked to you, tell me that there's going to be a lot of information in there. Toxic Sludge is Good for You is the name of one book. Toxic Sludge is Good for You, Lies, Damn Lies in the Public Relations Industry. That's one book. Another one is Mad Cow USA, Could the Nightmare Happen Here? And the last one is Trust Us, We're Experts, How Industry Manipulates Science and Gambles with Your Future. And I'm sure you can get a lot more details in those books that are written by Sheldon Rampton and John Stauber. And we've been talking with John Stauber here. And I want to thank you, John. And
thank you very much, Sue. It's been a pleasure.
For me, too. And my name's Sue Supriano. Thanks very much for listening.